Hey, welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast. Each year at Indiana Bible College, we have a special week dedicated to missions. Guest speakers come to preach, teach, and answer questions about their mission experiences. We were blessed this year to have back, no stranger to Indiana Bible College, Brother James Poitras. Both Brother Poitras and his wife Linda have participated in Indiana Bible College missions conferences in previous years, and we're thankful that they were able to be with us this Tuesday of missions conference. Brother James Poitras holds his BA in Biblical Studies from Indiana Bible College, as well as several other degrees, including a Master's of Arts in Ministerial Studies from Global University. He and his wife, Sister Linda, served as missionaries to Africa for 28 years before becoming directors of education and associates in missions for global missions for the United Pentecostal Church International in January of 2012. We were challenged and blessed by his ministry in chapel on Tuesday of the missions conference. Let's join chapel right now where Brother Poitras preaches from his heart a message entitled, The Next Right Step.
And why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. First of all honor to all those that deserve honor here this morning. Thank you very much for the privilege that I have to be here. If I begin to talk about all those that should be mentioned this morning, I would use up all of my time today. And I count it a great privilege to be here at Indiana Bible College. IBC means a lot for me. It's one of the schools that I graduated from. It's also where my two daughters graduated, and both of them are doing very well for the Lord, and I appreciate that very much. To all the aimers here today, next steppers, missionary kids, if I started calling you all, I'd miss somebody, so I'm not going to do that. Amen. Melinda asked me on my way here this morning. She said, "Dad, do you feel good about what you have to say today?" And I looked at her and I said, "No, not really." And in this service, I have felt a change of direction. Don't judge me this morning based on my homiletical skills, because I just want to give a testimony today. I was standing there, I was thinking, you know what? After all, the rodenbushes are the epitome of people who said yes. So God, if you're wanting me to move in that direction, they're going to be okay with it, and I'm just going to go ahead and say yes. Amen. I looked at you this morning. I believe like the Lord spoke to me and said, these are they that will turn the world upside down, according to Acts chapter 17. And verse number 6, and you may be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. I believe that I'm looking at a group of people this morning that you are going to literally turn the world upside down, and you are already doing that. I looked at your theme for this missions conference, and it reminded me that I am so thankful that I am called this morning. But more than just being called, I'm glad that I was chosen. And it's a privilege to go ahead and be faithful, called, chosen, and faithful. I think we spend a lot of time wondering where we should go in this world. We're thinking about what should be the next location that we should go to. I think we also spend a lot of time wondering what we should do in this world. That's the vocation. That's the calling. What should we do? When all the time, God isn't so concerned about the location. He's not so concerned about the vocation. This morning, he is concerned about what you are becoming. Not what you are going to do, not where you're going to go, but who are you going to be? If there's one word this morning that would describe what I have felt in this place today, this is the word. The word is desperation. I have felt here today that there are young people that are desperate for God to use you. You are desperate to hear a word from the Lord. You are desperate that your prayers are answered. I think when we come to the house of the Lord, it is important for us to declare the testimony of God. Paul said, I did not come with enticing words of a man's wisdom. That's not the way that I came. I came because I'm going to demonstrate the power and I'm going to declare the testimony of God. The scripture also says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I'm wondering, what is it that the Lord has to say to the church this morning? What is it that we should really be hearing from the Lord this morning? And I think the word is desperation. Somehow in the very beginning of this missions conference, if you could become desperate before God. God, I want to know your presence like I've never known it before. I want to know you, not just in the power of the resurrection, but I also want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering. I want to understand your presence because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. No matter where you go in this world, God is already there. He is everywhere present. He is nowhere absent. I am desperate for the presence of God in my life. I'm desperate for that. There's just this feeling of desperation in the building this morning. I'm reminded of the scripture in the Old Testament that says, deep is calling unto deep. There is something that is deep within you that is calling to what is deep in his spirit. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those of us that love him. For those of us that love him. The scripture says, but God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. Sometimes it gives us a bird's eye view of our life. And other times it's just step by step. It's just one step at a time. And I've often said it before, that the will of God is as simple as finding and doing the next right step. You said, oh, Brother Poitras, I really thought that you come today with some good words. No. The true test of intelligence is not how well you can take something that is simple and make it complex. But the true test of your intelligence will be if you can take it something that is so complex and you can make it so simple that anybody could understand. The will of God is finding and doing the next right step in your life. Deep is calling unto deep. There's something that is moving within you. There's that desperation that you really must be used of God. Over 7 billion people in this world. Who am I that you are thinking about me? Who am I that your thought is toward me and what I can do for you? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sistren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is but your reasonable service. It's the least that I can do is to call out in desperation before him and say, God, if you can use anything, can't you use me? Why would Paul say, I beseech you, the modern English, I beg you, I'm pleading with you, I'm asking you, that you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is but your reasonable service. Why would he say that? Because Paul knew that there is power in a life that is yielded on an apostolic Pentecostal altar. He understood that there is power and there is significance in you stepping out from where you're seated and where you're standing and coming here and crying out in desperation before God, saying, God, if you can use anything, I want you to go ahead and use me. I want to be called. I want to be chosen. I want to be faithful to what you're asking me to do. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I will not be conformed to this world. I'm not going to be conformed to the patterns of this world. I'm not going to be conformed to the thinking patterns of this world. I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned about what the biggest mega church is doing outside of the United Pentecostal Church International and the apostolic movement worldwide. I get it that the kingdom is bigger than the UPCI. I really do. I don't want to be like the rest of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I was standing up here this morning. I was thinking about the scripture probably found in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. Those spies that were sent into the promised land. And they came back and they gave the report. And some gave an evil report. It wasn't the right report. And there were those that said, we are well able to go up at once and take the land. Please let me check my time this morning because you all are so quiet. We are well able. We're well able to go up. We have been prepared. You see, there's a difference between being empowered and equipped. When the Holy Ghost was poured out at Azusa Street, there were people that got on boats and they immediately went overseas because they believed that they had been equipped with a language that they could speak when they got there. To their surprise, they had been empowered, most of them. But for most of them, they had not been equipped. So they got off that boat in Liberia with their casket, the one-way trip that they had taken. And they started to speak to the people that they felt called to. Except the people that they felt called to had no idea what they were saying. What was going on there? Empowered, but not equipped. I want to be empowered and equipped. Anyway, going back to the Old Testament, probably the book of Numbers. And they came in, they gave that good report. Some gave the evil report. And they said something like this. When we looked at them, there were giants in the land. They were the giants, and we were the grasshoppers. They were the giants, and we were the grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, I think we've got a big misunderstanding. We look at the giants in the land. And we fail to look at the giant that is within us. Because it is not by might, it's not by power, it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. There is a giant that is operating in me. So greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. Because Jesus Christ is in me, the hope of glory. They looked at the giants in the land, but they did not look at the giants of opportunity in their own lives. Say, Brother Poitras, what are we going to name this? Just call it Poitras' hodgepodge, okay? Poitras' testimony. Because I believe that God is doing something in you, that you're taking the next right steps, that He's at work within you. There is a giant within you that wants to use you for His glory and for His honor. Amen. I really believe that. You say, well, Brother Poitras, the Lord gave me a promise, and it's not happening yet. That's because you've misunderstood the promise. Thank you for the one okay. Jessica, I mean, you're my great niece. Come on. You misunderstood the promise. You thought that because he gave you a promise, that it was going to be performed immediately and automatically. I mean, when you ask that young lady out for a date at the banquet, the Christmas banquet, because I've been seeing some of what's going on around here. You know, I'm a stalker when it comes to Facebook and young people, because I believe and I know that they're the future of the apostolic movement worldwide. That's what you are. So when you ask her out on that date and Christmas banquet, I know enough about the way things operate around here. You went through a big deal to do that. A lot of creativity to do that. In the days of Melinda Poitras, they would hire Melinda to go ahead and create things so that she could help you get that date for the banquet. She's still available, by the way, for the writing aspect. Everything else you'll have to ask her. And you start that dating process. I hope that you do not go from dating to marriage just like that. You may enter into that blindly, but there will come a day that there will be an eye-opener for you. And by the way, the scripture says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But if I could edit that, if you have found a good wife, you have found a good thing. But if you find a bad wife, you have not found a good thing, sweetheart. That's just free of charge for you. Because the spouse that you choose out of the will of God can trip you up. I have met young people, none of them here in this building, that have come up to me at Youth Congress and General Conference, and they say, Brother Poitras, here is my husband, here is my wife, and I start talking to the couple. And all of a sudden you see one is embarrassed and the other one is looking off into outer space. What's going on there? Somebody may have taken, the wrong step. Because the person that you choose in marriage will not pull you down in finding the will of God. They will complete the picture. And they will help you to accomplish what God is trying to get you to do for His glory and for His honor. Desperation. I'm desperate to be used of the Lord. Therefore, I want my footsteps to be ordered by Him. It's probably considered to be an old song today. Brother Howell sometimes says to our people, you know, Brother Poitras, make sure at the School of Missions that they just don't sing those old songs. And then I start asking him, well, what type of songs would you like for them to sing? And he'll name one or two. And I'm thinking, well, to the millennials, those two are old songs. So I don't know if this is an old song or not. But I have been captivated by this song called Oceans lately. Because I want to step out into a realm in the spirit where it's okay if my feet fail me. I want to step out, Brother Tyler Bryant. Good to see you here this morning. I want to step out into a realm where I come to the end of myself. And I know that without Him, things are impossible. So some mornings I just listen to it over and over and over again. Now I've got some headphones, so I don't have to disturb the rest of the house. Just listening to it over and over again, because just one step, one decision that I make to step out from where I'm at into the realm of the impossible, into the realm of the Spirit, can have such an impact on my life and my calling to walk where my feet may fail. I think you know it. Spirit, lead me. Sounds pretty easy. Spirit, lead me. The sentence that kind of messes me up, at first I really liked it, Sister Tuttle, and then I've been wondering, you know, people that have a brain aneurysm, is that where the Lord has taken them to have trust without borders? When I sing that I'm willing to have trust without borders, without restrictions, what does that really mean in life? Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith is made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me. I want my trust to somehow be graduated to being trust without borders. I remember very well one of the missionaries from Europe and the Middle East, and we've got their regional director here this morning. I won't say that he's the greatest regional director in the world, but Melinda will say that for me because she proclaims it. The Tuttles are the best of the best. And if the Secretary of Missionary Kid Ministry says that, it might be true. But the missionary came up to me at a conference and he said, Brother Poitras, I just want to speak to you. And then he said, I feel like that the Lord is going to send you a test of trust. Now, the missionary probably didn't know me very well when he said that. He didn't know that I was going to embark on hours upon hours of research and investigation and make sure that I have the proper exegesis and also make sure that I don't get involved in eisegesis because that's just what a good theological person would do. And he didn't realize that I would go ahead and start asking the questions, why me? Why not him? Send it to Brother Tuttle. I mean, after all, they say he's the best regional director in the world. Just send the test to Brother Tuttle. He can handle it. He's got more missionaries in Europe and the Middle East than any other region in the world. He can handle it. They can help him with that, you know, that test of trust. And for those of you that were in Guam on the Next Steps program, I think you probably, hopefully, you remembered that I preached like two messages on what I learned from the test of trust. And everything that comes my way, Brother Rodenbush, Sister Poitras is not feeling well today. I'm thinking, wow, is that the test of trust right there? No, that's her test of trust, maybe. I'll be having some problem at the office, hardly ever, just when Brother Tuttle's around. Just kidding. And I think, wow, is that the test of trust? Several years has passed. I still don't know what is the test of trust. I do know this. I trust him more than ever before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will become the director of your path. He will become the person, the God that orders your footsteps. He ordains your footsteps. He declares your footsteps. Orders my footsteps. He's the director of my path. Recently, I was reading the book of Psalms. Brother Charlie, do you realize every page of the book of Psalms mentions the word trust at least one time? I want him to lead me to a place that my trust will be without borders, that I will not put limitations on him. I'll not put restrictions on him. I'll not put him in a box and say, this is the way that you will perform in my life and ministry. But I'll take the box away. I'll take the sides of the box away and I'll say, I will trust you without borders. I will stand against economic borders. I will stand against financial borders. Because when it comes to the will of God, money is never the problem. If he can get you lined up the way he wants you to be aligned with his will, money will not be a problem. It's easy for me to say since I'm not traveling on deputation. I know that. Trust without borders. I don't want there to be any racial border in my life. I don't want there to be an economic border. I don't want there to be restrictions that I allow to play into my life. I'll just go ahead and allow the Spirit to move them out of the way where I can simply trust him without borders. So this is the way that I've been praying lately. Lord, I want you to give me borderless trust. I will step out into the realm of the uncomfortable. Borderless trust. Because I know that when you give me a promise, it's not a straight line to the performance of that promise. It's more like this. So I want borderless trust. One time, one of those prophets prophesied in a meeting I was in. I was still in Africa at the time. The Africa MKs, please don't tell Brother Adams, the regional director, present regional director, that I said this. He's a very good friend of mine. But the prophet said this. The prophecy said this. Because every prophet prophesies. But not everyone, Jessica, that prophesies is a prophet. So either the prophet or the prophecy said, Poitras, I will make you to be great in Africa. I was somewhat younger then, and you know, I could really, you know, dance, and Melinda had an African song on there on our way here yesterday, and I used to talk about, you know, shaking your hips in Africa and, you know, dancing unto the Lord. These days, I just kind of move my shoulders. Just get in touch with the African spirit, just moving my shoulders. The other stuff is just too difficult. But those days, I was quite a bit younger. I didn't start running around the church. I didn't start dancing in the spirit. Because any time that God says to you, Charlie, I'm going to make you great. Thad, I'm going to make you great. Brother Hadabaugh, I'm going to make you great. That young man there, I hope you lost the sword fight at the Youth Congress. If you didn't, don't tell me. I don't want to be depressed today. I'm going to make you great. Anytime he says, I'm going to make you great, what type of school is it going to be that he takes you through? Indiana Bible College is simple, baby. On side of the school that God tends to take people through when he says that he's going to make you great. I'm sure that my wife, my children pray for me to have patience. I don't ever pray for patience. Someone said, oh, wow. You're right. I mean, I read the book. Tribulation worketh patience. When it comes to the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what I want to believe is this. I'm going to be ready whenever he comes. So I believe in the personal and the imminent returning of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I understand that there are those that say that he's going to come pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I'll tell you a secret when it comes to Jim Poitras. I hope that it's not post-trib. It may very well be. I don't know. But I hope it's not post-trib. Do you know why? Because poitras and pain should never be mentioned in the same sentence. So if it takes pain in order for me to do something great for God, then it may not be something that I'm going to jump up and down about. Borderless trust. Trust without borders. Borderless trust. I want to have an acute sensitivity to God. I want Him to order my footsteps. I want to have a deeper commitment. I want to have a stronger faith than ever before. I had the privilege to spend just about 28 years on the mission field in West Africa, and some of the best, absolute best years of my entire life. And occasionally people ask me, quite a bit actually, for the Poitras, do you ever see yourself going back to the mission field? Now I know that there's several members of the Global Missions Board here, and what I say at IBC must stay at IBC. Because things could change. But no, I don't see myself going back to the mission field. 9/1/2011 was the day that I stopped being a global missionary and I became a global Christian that day. So I don't see myself going back to the mission field. This is the way I see me as the musicians begin to come back. I see me as somehow being the connector, and Brother Tuttle mentioned it this morning, the link. We want to be the link between you that want to do the will of God and a world that needs to hear you. Those that want to do the will of God and a world that must be reached. So if I had to live my life all over again, I'd live it in Africa all over again. But guess what? I don't get to live my life all over again. You don't get to live your life all over again. You don't get to live your life all over again. You don't get to live your life all over again. Sorry, ladies. You don't get to live your life all over again. So since we don't get to live our lives all over again, then I think we've made up our minds that we're going to help you to live your life in answer to God's call upon your life. I think that Lydia, Sister Lydia, and the others gave you a footstep when you came into the room today. Sorry we weren't able to go ahead and totally use that. But if you want to use it, this is what I want you to do with that little footprint that you have. I've done it myself. Don't try to see the whole journey. The journey of a million miles begins with a single step. The journey of a million miles just begins with you saying yes, 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 yes. So I want you to ask the Lord today, Lord, what is the next step for me? What is the next step for me? What is it that you're asking me to do? And if you'll do that, I want you to go ahead and write it down on that footstep. I'm not going to take it from you, but if you feel led to do that, I want you to do that. What's the next step for you? For some, it may be AIM. Some, it may be next steps. Some, it may be a church plant. The world is big. And you can be used of the Lord if you are desperate for Him. So that's what the footstep was there for. Whether you use it or not today, that's up to you. But I wonder if there's anybody in this room today that you're willing to make your way down to this altar once again. Say, Brother Poitras, I know the Word is a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet. I just want to know the next few right steps. I want to know the next right step of what God would have me to do. I'm just kind of desperate for that. I know that there's something deep that is within me, and it's calling out to God. I know that He wants to use me, and just for a few minutes today, I won't be so concerned about where I'm going to go after graduation. I'm not even going to be concerned about what I'm going to do after graduation, but God, it's just You and me right here. I want You to help me to be what I need to be for Your kingdom and for Your glory and for Your honor. I want You to use me. I want to be part of that group that's willing and able to turn the world upside down. It's not through our own might. It's not through our own power, but it's by Your Spirit. Today I want to look into the future by faith, calling those things that are not as if they already are. Because we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. And faith is still the substance of things that I'm hoping for. It's the evidence of things that I don't even see. It's obedience. Obedience to You every step of the way, every minute of the day. Obeying You. Obeying You. Lord, I pray that You'll use this group of students. I believe that they are going to turn the world upside down. I believe that IBC students will march into every corner of this globe. That they'll go into the nations. That You'll use them as witnesses for You. That they will reach people for Your glory and honor. Lord, that they'll march into small towns, big cities, and this nation and beyond. That You've equipped them with power from on high. You've equipped them with spiritual authority, oh God. You've equipped them with a call upon their lives. Lord, I ask for Your touch today. Let this be a God moment for students here today, oh God. I release myself to You today, oh God. It's not just a song. It's a lifestyle. It's how I plan to live my days upon this earth. I want to have borderless trust. I want to have an acute sensitivity to Your Spirit this morning. Oh, my God, I want to go into a new realm, a new dimension in You. I'm tired of standing on the precipice of revival. I want to stand.